One of the things I have liked about, especially last week's classes, there was a lot of give and take. There was a lot of angles is the wrong word, but a lot of interpretations on how we saw what was said, and it was really a good discussion. But it also left us off. We were able to end before we hit the part of faith and works, starting with chapter 14, from verse 14. And one of the interesting things, this particular section is one of the reasons that when they were going around and suggesting that this book go into the canon, there were many, many people against it, because as they interpreted it, the voice was, what you're saying is you don't need God, you can do good things in your life, which is the opposite of what James was actually saying. We'll get into that discussion in a minute. But it does ask some interesting questions, and I think the whole basis for this 14 to 18 goes in a lot with what this morning's sermon was about also, because, you know, yes, we need to believe and we need to pray and we need to do things. We need to understand that Christ is the Savior, but we need to act too. And as you can see in the writing of James, that was a problem that was way back in the beginning of the church too, on how people saw, what did you do? The question on whether you can be saved by works or is it saved by faith? How are we sanctified? And we're going to discuss that some tonight. So do I have a volunteer to read verses 14 through 18? I will open up, especially after it was just read, can you have faith without works? Yes, that's, and I actually like that, the part where it said, well, faith, works will come to you because you believe. And I think that is really important to see and understand. Once you've accepted God, He's going to use you. And He's going to give you things to do. He's going to allow you to use your talents, your gifts that He has given you for the benefit of the church, for the community, for those people that are around you. But yes, you can have faith without works. I think that's kind of a shallow set of faiths, because the 15 and 15 and 16, you know, because I've used this many times, you know, if somebody needs something or is hungry, I'll go pray for you, but what good does that do unless you actually go out and feed the person or give them something to drink or help them with their problems if they're willing to help you? I keep hitting the caveats in my head, because the reality is sometimes people won't accept what we offer, and that includes the Lord, because they're embarrassed, they don't know how to act, and they're not willing to understand we can't do anything alone. But the works itself calls us to make the work. The faith itself calls us to make the attempt to go out and try to reach those people that are in need. And I agree with that. I have a tendency to believe that God is going to use you. Now, he may not use you as, say, we're using Fred or we're using Todd as teachers, but He will identify to you that, okay, yeah, but you can move chairs, or you can do photocopying and that type of thing. Going back to the fact that when God wants us to do something, He's not going to give us anything that we can't handle, and He's not going to push us beyond our means. Now, He knows what we're capable of, but sometimes we really undermine our abilities to perform tasks, to work for other people. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, the fallacies of being a human being, the failures of being a human being. We can, and we often do, misjudge our effect on other people. Because as it and it's come up before, you do something for somebody else, or you do something nice, you smile for them, and you have no idea the effect that you've had on that person. You tell somebody your story, and you've planted the seed, and then 5 years later, that seed comes to fruition. Well, that is an act of work, and it's an act of faith at the same time. You help out a neighbor who isn't doing, I've hurt my back, I can't rake my yard. Or when it snows, the guys and the girls that get out there and they shovel the sidewalk, and somebody gets up and, well, if they get up before 10 o'clock in the morning, and New Mexico has already melted the snow, but, you know, hey, somebody has done something nice for that, and if and when they find out about it, it's that word gets around very, very well. But we don't understand the effect we can have on somebody that is suffering silently and doesn't know where to turn. A suggestion, a comment. Can I help you? Do you need a ride to the doctor? Can I help you make some phone calls? Yeah, that type of a thing. Now, let's flip the question. Can you have works without faith? But look about all the people out there that do, and I think it's a pastor curse, but I come down very, very hard on people that are not in the church. But, you know, like I said this morning, I've known many, many people throughout my life that were, I respected them. They were wonderful people. They lived their lives well. They raised their children. They just did not have God. But they gave to charities. They helped people out when it was needed, and they did it freely with the smile on their faces and everything else. And it's just that the difference of the two, I'd much rather have Jesus, because I know where I'm going, and I understand the impact he's had on our lives. Now, again, remember, James is the first letter to the just formed churches throughout Asia Minor and throughout Greece. And they are struggling with these questions. Now, as Todd said, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, part of the problem was going on is at this particular time when it was preached, Jesus is coming back, they were thinking it's going to come back in 5 years, 10 years, my lifetime. And it wasn't until later on that was disabused. And Paul, in his letters, deals with that when he starts to talk about, okay, the coming glory, but you have to continue to live your life in Christ. Okay? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead being by itself. This may be repetitive, and if it is, please let me know, but how is faith dead without works? And we've touched on it a couple of times, and this is where I think your answer is absolutely perfect. Anybody else on that? Because I can keep talking. And the situation of being a Christian and hearing the love and reading about what Jesus did for others, knowing what it was going to cost him, he still does the things. And when the Holy Spirit comes into us, we run into a situation, we find ourselves willing to step out beyond ourselves. Now, it really gets hard because, like I said, you know, I have no idea how to lead music, but look what God does. We got all these nice ladies that get up there, and Joel helps, and all the rest of that stuff. The Spirit gives us the people in our lives that will help and lead us, and that can be anything from physically helping you to providing an example, being a confessor, being a support system. And again, all this is tied in to faith. And let's be honest, you have any natural disaster and some man-made disasters. First people, bar none that I see out there, it's not the National Guard or any of that, it's Christians. They're the ones that will mobilize for people we don't know. We'll give money, we'll give time, we'll give ourselves. The Baptist Missions has a really great bunch of teams around the country, and it's absolutely amazing how, you know, we're leaving the comfort of our home because we have electricity out, and they'll spend the next 3-4 weeks to months living without electricity, living without washing machines, living without all the creature comfort at home, but they do it for one reason, and that's because God has laid that task upon the heart. And the works that we do are laid upon our heart by God. And that's important to know too. You may not realize it. You may not understand that God wants you to go stand on a street corner and smile at people. That's taking it to an extreme. But you know what? Have y'all ever been in a bad mood? And somebody comes walking by, and they're disgustingly happy, and you smile, and they smile at you, and you can't help but going automatic because, hey, there's somebody out there for you. So that keeps going on. Now, the last question in this series is very honest, and I would like to hear from you. How do you show your faith? How do we show it collectively? How do we show it individually? What are some of the things that goes on in your life? And this is not bragging, it's because I know you'll do it all in humility. But think about what you do for other people. For those of us who haven't pulled the pin and retired, how many of you have jobs? And do you consider your job a testament of faith to God? And I'm going to continue to ask that why question because I love the question. It keeps going on. And I do have an answer for that. But why is the daily going to the daily grind so important? Yes. Exactly. And that's a great example of everything too. But one of the things that God loves is order. Now, when I first went into seminary, I questioned my time in the Marine Corps because there were portions of it that were very, very bloody. And that had weighed on my mind a lot, and when I talked with my pastor about it, he referred me to Martin Luther. And Martin Luther did actually do a treatise on that question because it does come up. How can a person in the military or in today in law enforcement or everything else consider themselves justified in the Lord because they may have to take a life or lots of lives? And Luther explained that as because God loves order, he loves the people that keep order. So one of the reasons that we're supposed to be obedient to the government, because a government doing its job correctly cares for the people, makes sure the trains run on time and the roads are paved and all that other stuff, whether in reality it does or not, but that's an up and down thing. But it's important, and it is a worthwhile effort. The person that is working as a supermarket clerk is doing a job to help other people. Without that person, you end up in Walmart checking yourself out, bagging yourself. Everybody provides a service. And ideally, you're supposed to, and I don't quote me because I can't remember exactly which one of the letters, do your job cheerfully, knowing that God has assigned you this task, whether it's shoveling ditches or spreading or picking up leaves or whatever it is in there, okay? Questions, comments? I get to play with the kids. Alrighty then, verses 19 to 26. Why do you think James uses Abraham as an example of faith? But at that time, was he the patriarch of the Jewish people? Was there a nation of Israel? Was there a tribe of Israel? And what did he do in this instance? And in verse 21 in the NASB, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? And that's I wouldn't, in my wildest days, I would not consider that works. But as you've said, the outcome was, I have faith that. And I have to admit is, you know, what was going on in Abraham's heart at that time? Of course, you know, Isaac is laying there going, okay, Dad, you've said this and it's going to happen. And then thankfully, okay, stop, and here's the lamb, and sacrifice that instead. Are there other examples of that type of a faith that either in the Bible or things you have seen in your own life that you would like to share? And from our Sunday school lesson, Joseph. And listening to the description that Todd gave, says, you know, the kid could easily have come off as a brat. But, you know, daddy's favorite. But his faith and ultimately, his works and his faith in God together provided not only for him and his family, it provided for the entire nations of Egypt and Israel. And that was only because he worked in faith and did what Jesus had led him to do. And another one that hits out really, really, really hard is Daniel. First of all, you find yourself in a situation where your country is no more, and you're hauled off into another place that you don't speak their language, and you're going to tell, oh, by the way, you're moving into the king's palace, and you're going to be serving him, etc., etc., etc. And he did not back off from his faith. And he was courteous, he was polite, but he was also firm in his convictions, as were the other three, who, and, you know, Is your faith going to allow you to get tossed in a cauldron of fire or things like that? And be willing to say, well, you know what, Lord, if that's what's going to happen, that is what's going to happen. You take it one step further, and we'll go into the New Testament because I'm spending all my time in the Old Testament. What about Paul? I mean, you had to, when he was he was a faithful person as a Pharisee in as far as he could be, but after he was blind and he heard from Jesus, literally everything he went through, being beaten, thrown off of walls, tossed in prison, beaten again, left for dead, his faith did not waver. And that's actually, and he continued his faith in God allowed him to do the works, because where would we be today without Paul? And, you know, and these are major people, but again, it's what I go back to and say, the things you all do for other people, and that's why I really push this very, very hard, is immeasurable. And not only are you storing your treasures with God in heaven, you're helping down here on earth, and that's invaluable. Sometimes isn't it really hard to, when there are things that you know that you want to do, that you're supposed to do, but you know what? I'm sorry, I'm tired, I just don't want to do it. And I found out with most Christians, about the time those silly words leave your mouth, you find yourself doing it anyway, but God will have his way one way or another. But hey, and it's just, we are as important in our world today as Paul was in his world, and Peter was, and James was, when we do the work for God. Now, I was a churchgoer, not a Christian when this happened, but I was coming back from a TAD trip, and we're flying into good old, well, Covington, Kentucky, but it's Cincinnati International Airport. As we're coming in, there are thunderstorms, and as the pilot came out in a cheerful voice and said, "Well, a couple of tornadoes have been sighted at the airport too. This might be a bumpy little ride." It was a bumpy little ride, enough to where, you know, I sat down there and says, "Well, Lord, if this is it, well, this is it, and thank you." And you know, I did. It's one of those amazing things. I felt at peace. I mean, if the plane had crashed, hey, you know, take care of the family. You know, Lord, take care of the family, and you've done well by me. I was still basically a heathen. And when we landed, we came to find out, not only were there thunderstorms, not only were there two tornadoes, they lost lights as he's coming in to land. So all the runway lights went out, all the airport lights went out, and I'm enjoying Jason over there going, "Rats." And he did an absolutely wonderful job. And to this day, that was God. And the more I go back to those type of incidences, that was God doing wonderful things for the people. And there were other people who were just screaming and yelling and going, "Oh God, we're going to die." But you guys are awesome. I put in here, based on verses 21 to 23, is verse 24 a true statement? Why or why not? And if you haven't noticed, I am being incredibly circular here. I'm asking the same thing over and over and over again. And we're basically saying the same thing over and over again. But again, our justification and our works are very, very important when they're done in God's name. And that's the reason I keep doing this. And you see the manifestation of God. I mean, I see it every Sunday morning. If you want to have some fun sometimes, step back and watch the people before and after services talk with one another. I get a particular kick out of watching Rachel go to, no offense folks, each one of the older people and having a conversation. And it's not because this is something I have to do. It's because it's Rachel being Rachel in God. And I'm, you know, watching Josiah. Wake up, Josiah. You know, as he, you don't get to see the look on your face as you're walking from over there to do the ushing. But it's really interesting to watch because in those moments you are serving God. And when we do that with one another, you know, that's works. That is giving of yourself for somebody else. And that's the greatest thing in the world. And I was going to ask for, in verse 26, "For just as a body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." And I was going to ask you to defend or reject or defend that particular verse, but you've been doing it all evening. Simply by your actions and what you have done for other people. And again, yeah, it may get repetitive of saying me, but that's the one thing about this church that I find incredibly special. Because I do know, and I have been in churches where they wouldn't cross the street to help somebody. and yet they're convinced I'm with God. And it's a sad thing. And we don't have that problem here. It's really, really awesome. Alrighty, well, in that case, you know, we're getting close to, I've got 3 minutes I can kill. Does anybody have any comments, some observations? Because I really want to start chapter 3. Chapter 3 is going to be fun, just like this part of chapter 2, because we're going to talk about tongues, the tongue and the fire, and all the trouble that a tongue can get you into. And I'll raise mine, because I stick my foot in my mouth all the time. And God bless God. But if you really want a homework assignment, research chapter 3, verse 1. Because it's an interesting, interesting concept. And it's an opportunity to actually talk about the teachers we have here in the church who do a phenomenal job. So, that aside, questions, comments? Alrighty, anything else? Why don't we close out in prayer first, because we got to wait for the young folks to come in, and then we will sing our final hymn, and then we can fellowship, and we can be happy together. And our final hymn will be Face to Face on 600, but let us close with prayers first. Gracious and Almighty Father, we thank you for our time together this evening. And Father, we are truly thankful that we can come together as a church on Sunday mornings, on Sunday evenings, throughout the week, that we can work with one another, that we can love one another, and we can share your word and your thoughts with one another. Allow us to continue to learn from your word, continue to give us discernment, continue to share what we know and soak in what we don't know. Father, we thank you so much because we can't do this alone. We can't do anything without you. You are our rock. You are our strength. We ask that you continue to bless us as we go from here this evening. We ask for safe travels. We ask for a wonderful week, and we ask for your blessings in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.